So, since I didn't even get my sermon title in on time, I also didn't get my scripture in on time. So, the scripture that I read earlier actually is not what I'm going to preach on. So I encourage you to, if you have a Bible, please get it out. One of the worst things you can do is try to take my word for it. As most of the college kids can probably tell you, if you do whatever I tell you to do, it might end up badly. So I encourage you to get your Bibles out, open it up for yourselves, so you can see where I'm teaching from and where and what you can follow as well. But we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, and it's 16 through 21. All right, let's read. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'd like to start out by telling you a little story. This story is written by, there's a man who went to Germany to look at the different, the beach from D-Day. And his tour guide was telling them all these different stories. And this is what he had to say about his tour guide. He said, "The most touching story told by Francis, who was his tour guide, took place about 10 years ago, a time when many veterans were returning to Normandy for the 50th anniversary of D-Day. Because most were in their 70s, the men knew it would likely be their last chance to make the journey. Francis's story took place during a reunion of an American bomber squadron, which hired him to take them to sites connected with their war experiences. One evening, Francis ended a long day of touring by taking the men to a local bar. The room already contained quite a few people when they entered, most of them men about the same age as the veterans. When Francis heard that they were speaking German, he guessed that they were veterans from the other side of the conflict. Conferring with the group's guide, he received confirmation of his surmise. 'Your guys dropped bombs on my guys during the war,' the other guide told him. 'This could be interesting.' As the American vets entered the room, Francis watched with a bit of apprehension. It didn't take the Americans long to overhear the conversations in German and figure out who the men were. There was a period of awkwardness as the veterans found seats, and then finally one of the Americans went over to a table where some of the elderly Germans were sitting. He introduced himself in German and struck up a conversation. Soon, another veteran did the same. After about 10 minutes, everybody in the room was talking to each other and sharing stories. Francis recalled, "The Germans talked about what it was like to be young and scared that the next bomb was going to land on them. And the Americans told them what it was like to be young and scared as they flew planes amid anti-aircraft fire. For 2 hours, they talked nonstop, and at the end of the evening, they exchanged addresses with each other. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are still corresponding to this day. For those men, Americans and Germans alike, their war finally ended over glasses of beer in a French bar more than 50 years after the armistice had been signed." Now, if you notice in our reading, he mentions the word reconciliation a lot. And I find that this story is a great example of reconciliation. Reconciliation is when two parties can come together after a time of when they've been apart or even like at war. And these men had once been on opposite sides of the battlefield trying to kill each other. And now they can come together in a bar and be together and be friends. And they're able to just be comrades again. So the question is, why reconciliation? Why do we need reconciliation? Why does God call for reconciliation? And the answer is right in our reading. I'm going to go back and read verses 16 and 17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We are all new creations. Our past lives are gone, our new lives are here, and we can all be one because we are all new creations in God. But knowing that we have been separated from, that we need to come back to God, shows that we are separated. But how are we separated and why are we separated? In Isaiah, it says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So as a sinful people, we have been separated from God. But as we are separated, God wants to reconcile us back to him. Verse 18, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them." God brings us to himself. He doesn't want the separation from us. We brought the separation upon ourselves by sinning, by being people of sin. But God wants to bring us back. And he brings us back through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, if I could have you, everybody, just close your eyes and think back to that day when Jesus was hung on the cross. Just envision yourself as someone in the crowd, standing there watching Jesus as he's hanging on the cross, blood dripping down his face, down his side, and just the agony that he's going through. But as you look around at the other people gathered there, some are mourning, but many have looks of joy and happiness on their face. Because Jesus is being crucified for sins that he never committed, but that the world believes that he should have been crucified for. And as you just look around the crowd and you just see the faces of hope and happiness as Jesus dies on the cross, and then realizing that those people are clueless that he's doing this for them, that the pain and agony that they are cheering on is actually for them, so that they don't have to suffer anymore. Jesus is our magnet. Jesus is the magnet that can pull us to God. Jesus is what can connect us back to God. And because God is pulling us to him, he's giving us this message of reconciliation. He's giving us the message to go out and tell about what we were just thinking about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verses 19 and 20, he gives us the command. He says, "And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." We are Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador, a representative or promoter of a specified activity. Someone who gets to go out and tell people all about what's going on. Kind of like what we're becoming for the End It movement. We're becoming ambassadors, telling people about what's going on. We need to be ambassadors of reconciliation. Our activity to tell is all about reconciliation. Christ died so that we may be reconciled to God and so that we can come together with God. But luckily, we don't have to do this on our own. As it said, God is making his appeal through us. You don't have to make up your own story. You don't have to make up your own words, try to ad-lib your way through everything. God will speak through us. God will use us and use us to be ambassadors for him. But we must let him speak through us. And the only way that we can allow him to speak through us is to also reconcile ourselves to him. Verse 20 says, at the end of it, it says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Christ started the process. He's already got us halfway there. He's already trying to pull us into him. He's already trying to reconcile us to him. But we have to complete the circle. We have to be willing to be reconciled by God. When Paul says that we implore you to be reconciled, he doesn't say, "I'd kind of like for you to be reconciled. It'd be nice if you would be reconciled. If you want to, you can be reconciled." But he says, "I implore you." This shows passion. This shows just a strong need to be reconciled to God. And it shows that our willingness to be a part of God is very important. Because God can continually call at us. He can continually try to get us to do the things that he wants us to do. But until we go to him and accept it, then we won't do his work. An example of this is with children. Now, I'm sure that when I was a kid, I never did this. But as for us who don't have kids, I'm sure we did this. For those who have kids, you'll understand. But it's like when the children are outside playing and they're having a good old time and mom comes outside and tells them it's time to come in, and yet there's no response. They're having a good time. They're going to keep doing what they want to do anyway. So mother calls again. It's time to come inside. They're still having a good time. We'll just keep playing. And the mother can yell until she is red in the face, but until the child actually comes back to the mother, they will not know or get whatever the mother is trying to give. Normally it was food, and normally that's what I really wanted. But I couldn't get that until I actually came back and accepted the call from my mother to come back into the house. So let's read a little more into verse 21. It says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So that we might become the righteousness of God. This means so that we can do what is right to God and in God's eyes. So that we can live up to God's expectations. Being close to God allows us to know firsthand what his expectations are for us. If we don't reconcile ourselves to God, if we don't draw close to God, then how are we going to know what is good and what is right in God's eyes? Just like if I have a friend, I'm not going to know what they would like for me to do if I'm not with them, talking to them. I can't read minds, and we can't read God's mind. It's far greater than any of our own. So we must reconcile ourselves and draw close and be with God so that we can know and understand what is right and meaningful in His eyes. So the challenge I have for everyone today is allow yourself to be reconciled to God. Be sure to come together with God. We must have a daily attempt at drawing closer to God. You know, get in your word. Like I said, just words, just talking to people, it's not good enough. You have to get in and find everything for yourself. It's great to hear sermons and great to hear speakers. It's great to understand the scriptures a little bit more. But until you go back and dive into it and get out of it what God wants you to get out of it, then it's meaningless. It's just more words that you're hearing and allowing to come into your thoughts. We must spread the word of reconciliation. This is our ministry of reconciliation, that we can spread the word, tell people about Jesus. We have this awesome gift that we've all been saved. We all get to have eternal life, and yet we don't tell people about it. We don't care to talk your ear off about politics or popular things going on in the news or the latest song that just came out. But when it comes to Jesus, we freeze up. And for some reason, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to tell anyone about it. We leave this building where we're in a sanctuary, we're in a safe place, and we go out and don't say another word. We sit in here and worship God, you know, with all our hearts and with all our minds, and then we do nothing about it. We don't take that with us. And so all of us, like me included, we all need to just go out. We have great ministry fields. We have college students here who have a campus that is continually growing with believers and sinners alike. And we're not telling anyone what they need to be told. We're not spreading this word to everyone as we need to. The older adults have work fields that they go into. They have jobs that they go to, working around people every day, going to the supermarket. There's people there that need to hear this ministry of reconciliation, that they're not lost forever. They can be brought back, but they don't know if they're not told. Like I said earlier, awareness is key. If you're not telling someone about it, then they won't ever know. So those are my challenges. To know that God is reconciling you to Him. Know that you're not lost. He's continually trying to pull you in. Continue to spread that word of reconciliation and be reconciled yourselves. Allow yourself to draw to God. Allow yourself to become one with His word. Get into His word. Understand it. And just be a part of everything that God is doing with you today. Let's pray. Great God, we come to you again, hearing this message. Help us to not have empty hearts, that we don't go through with action. Help us to go out with this ministry of reconciliation, that we can continue to be reconciled by you and show others through our experiences that they too can be reconciled. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the lives that you've given us that we may live. Thank you for all those around us. In your name we pray. Amen.